Luke's gospel and following the story that Luke tells us through. And so we came yesterday morning to the birth of Jesus, and we're going to look this morning then at a few little verses that we just had read for us by Jill. Give it the title, Good News of Great Joy. We read then verse 8 that night the angels came. And so just before then, what has happened in verse 7? Jesus has been born. When exactly he's born, we don't know. We often say in the night. It doesn't say that exactly, but it just says at night time the angel then came. Up until that point, it had been a very quiet Christmas. Mary and Joseph had had their child. And the way Luke tells it, it was very alone. She brought forth her firstborn son, verse 7, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And we looked yesterday at how there might have been no room for them really with their family. And she has her child, it almost seems alone in those references. And so the Son of God has come into the world. But only Mary and Joseph know it. It's all happened very quiet up until this point. And what's going to happen next? Well, we know. But if you could just pause there at a moment, it's interesting just to think it through. That's about to change. God is going to send the news of the birth of his son, who's going to be the saviour. And who would he choose to tell the news to? Interesting just to think, isn't it? Who would we want to tell some important news like that to? Would it be the king? Would it be political leaders or the priests? Would it be military officers or journalists, influencers, the rich, the noble, the elite? Who would you pick to tell the news to? I wonder who we might pick on that list, or somebody else we might think is a good bet, a good person to tell this news to. Well, God picked shepherds. In their culture, shepherds had a rich history, didn't they, in the Bible? You might think of many, like Abraham and Jacob and others, Moses who kept sheep, all the way through to King David. But in the New Testament, shepherding had fallen on hard times, and it wasn't really a very respected profession at all. Many people thought they were pretty unscrupulous men. They lived out in the wild, looking after sheep. They weren't mainstream in that kind of way, and so people viewed them with a bit of suspicion. But that's who God chose to send the news to that first Christmas. And that's a funny thing, isn't it, to think of? And yet we're told in James chapter 2 and verse 5, listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith? I think that's true, isn't it, of the shepherds? They were poor in this world. But we're going to see. They're rich in faith, aren't they? The way they respond to this message, which we'll get to in just a moment. And so as the shepherds heard that story, here's our chance this morning to hear the story, whether it's for the first time or 101st. It's good, isn't it, just to hear what the shepherds were told. And whether we're poor in this world, materially speaking, to follow the example of the shepherds, to be rich in faith as we hear these words of God. We're just going to draw out a couple of very simple things. First of all, three names for the child. An angel appears at first with this news, comes to the shepherds, and the angel speaks, do not be afraid, behold, I give you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. That's a lovely little cascade of words, isn't it? A good tidings that'll bring great joy, that are meant to be for all the people. And then he proceeded to tell them what had happened. For there is born to you this day in the city of David. Anyone know the next word? A saviour. That's the first name. Today born in the town of David, a saviour. Who is? Anyone know it? Christ. And the next one, the Lord. Three names that are given for Jesus. We were told, we read earlier, of both Mary in Luke's account and Joseph in Matthew's account being told to call him Jesus. But now he's got three titles that are given here by the angel. He is Saviour, Christ, and Lord. He's the Christ. We'll go with that one first. Some translations may have it Messiah. That's the same word. He's the Christ, he's the Messiah. And that points to him being the promised one. He's the promised one. The one who's been long awaited. The one who's been prophesied about. We read one of those prophecies last night at our carol service. There's plenty more going all the way back to Abraham and Jacob and David and those shepherds we mentioned before in the Old Testament. They'd had these promises before. And now the Christ has come. And in that word, just a few letters long, it sort of summed up all of that stuff there, those promises that God had given. He is the promised one who's going to fulfill everything that God has said already in the Old Testament. That's who we remember born at Christmas, the promised one. He's also the Lord. He's the reigning one. Born in the town of David, the angel says. And again, we looked at that a bit yesterday, because that's another part of the promise. That David, the king, was promised there would always be a king. A king who would reign forever on his throne. And so as the angel calls him the Lord, he's referring to him being the king. He's the reigning one. It isn't quite the same as the word that's used for God, Lord, capital letters. That's the covenant name of God, that's Yahweh. That isn't quite the same, but that is used of God in the Old Testament. He's sometimes called the Lord God, and that would be this version of this with the smaller letters, meaning the king. He's the God who reigns as king. So it is used of God in the Old Testament. And now it's used of Jesus. He is Christ the Lord, the promised one and the reigning one. And then working back, he's the Saviour. He's the needed one. The angels came with this message of a Saviour. And that's who they were speaking about. For we need a Saviour. And that's perhaps the bit of the message that some might not like, or some might take offence at, and say, well, I don't know if I need one. Here's a Saviour who's been born, but what do I need saving for or from? But that's what the angels say. No, a Saviour's been born. And going back, it says this is good tidings, a great joy for all people. For all people need the Saviour. And that's why Jesus was born. He's the promised one who has come to fight and win over Satan. He's the reigning one who can sit on David's throne. And he's the Saviour. He's the needed one. For he is going to live his life perfectly, never sinning, never disobeying God, never doing wrong. Not one rude word ever passed Jesus' lips. Not one swear word. Not one insult or unkind thing. Not even in his mind. Never some unkindness came into Jesus' mind. Never a malicious thought. Never an unkind deed. Never a moment of disobedience. He lived that perfect life and then died. And that was his finishing that work of being the Saviour. He'd come to save his people from their sins. And that's what we need this Christmas. I don't know what you're hoping for. Still might happen in this day. Maybe you're hoping, maybe you could think to yourself, what do I need for Christmas? Maybe you need a good rest. Maybe you need a moment's peace. Maybe you need a lovely present that you're hoping still to unwrap. Maybe you need a good meal. But here we're told in the Bible, you need a Saviour. You need Jesus to save you from your sins. And if you discover that this Christmas, well, what a Christmas you'll have to celebrate. to receive that greatest gift that we've been singing of, that gift of God sending his Son. Let's pause and we'll sing another carol, and then we'll look a tiny bit more at what the shepherds did. Well, let's carry on then with the story of those shepherds, and think of those things that the angels sang of. So there's the announcement of the one angel to start with in those first verses 10, 11 and 12. And then a whole group of angels arrive, verse 13. And we'll see here three things to sing about this morning. And they came singing, glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. You know what the next word was? Goodwill. Goodwill towards men, or people, it's a general word, there. Three things to sing about, just in this little short carol that the angels sang that first Christmas. They're the first people to sing. A baby's been born. So it's all been quite quiet so far. Some shepherds have been told a message. And now suddenly, a choir from heaven come to sing that first Christmas. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Let's just look at those three phrases for a moment. Glory to God in the highest is the first thing they sing. Maybe it could be a request, in the sense that the angels come singing, may God be glorified in the highest heaven. May God be glorified. The angels want God to be glorified. That's why they come. That's why they praise him. They want God to be glorified for what he's just done, or what's just happened. A Saviour's been born, who's Christ the Lord. And that deserves praise for God, doesn't it? And so the angels come. Maybe there's a sense in which they could hardly stay in heaven and not come. They've got to come and sing of these things. This is the only time really it happens in this kind of way. We hear a whole group of angels, we hear them singing in heaven in other parts of the Bible. This is the first time we hear them coming here to sing. It also may be a statement. Glory to God in the highest may just be a statement of a fact. God is glorified. He's glorified in the highest heaven, but actually glory to God. Glory belongs to God. Because it just is. God's glory is everything about him. So we do use it in these two ways. We mean glory to God in the sense we're going to praise him. But glory to God also is about who he is. God's glory is his character, his righteousness, his mercy, his love, his justice, his wisdom. They are all part of his glory, who God is. So the angels sing of a fact. Glory to God in the highest. Now in this moment, as the Christ is born, as a Saviour's been born, who is Christ the Lord, we see God's glory. God's kindness is now going to be seen like never before. God's wisdom is going to be seen here on earth like it never has been done before. And you could go on. God's glory is now appearing as his Son is born. God's glory is now going to be known, isn't it? And we read last evening in John's Gospel, and he says of Jesus, we saw his glory. We saw everything about him. The glory of the one and only, who's come from the Father, full of grace and truth. John the disciple says, we saw Jesus and we saw glory. For we saw his righteousness, his justice, his wisdom, his love, his mercy, everything about him. We saw it. So, glory to God in the highest. That's one thing to sing about this morning, isn't it? We've seen, we who are Christians have seen something of his glory, haven't we? And we want to praise God in heaven for all he's done and all he began to do at Christmas. And then carried on doing. So glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. Isn't that a wonderful sort of two directions to it? Glory to God in the highest. God gets all the glory, he really should. But we're the ones who get all the benefits. We're the ones who get all the blessings of the Saviour being born. God gets all the glory. He should be praised because of what he's done. But we're the ones who are blessed by Christ coming. Human beings get all the blessings. Peace to earth. Peace to us. For this plan of salvation has begun. God has sent his Saviour, and he's going to finish that off. We know the rest of the story. And he's come to bring peace. He's the Saviour who's come to save us from our sins, to take away the cause of the hostility between us and God. He's come to pay the debt. He's come to take away those sins. Because of those sins on their own, we can't have peace with God. Me and you, we can't go to heaven because of our sin. We can never live peacefully with God in heaven because of all the things we've done to disobey him. That can only happen because of a peace that has come from God. A peace that has happened because he sent a Saviour. That those sins can be forgiven. And so now we can be received by God one day in heaven. We can have eternal life. We can have peace in our hearts. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth. He carries on, goodwill towards men. God wills, he wants good for people here on earth. We were in the book of Titus on our Sunday evenings recently, which now I'm struggling to find. In the Bible, Titus, and in chapter 3, there's a lovely verse that we were looking at a couple of weeks ago, and it sort of heads on our way towards Christmas. And it says this in Titus 3, verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour towards men appeared, he saved us. Paul writes to Titus of this moment, when kindness and love appeared. That's Jesus coming, isn't it? Love towards men, goodwill. God's passionate desire to do good for people that didn't love him. For people that hated him and had disobeyed him. God had a passionate desire for good for them. And so he sent his Saviour. His love, his kindness has now appeared in human form as the Christ is born. Three things to sing about this Christmas. Glory to God in the highest. Is that our desire this day? To glorify God, to thank him, to praise him, and to recognize those things he gives to us. Those greatest gifts that have come through Jesus, his Son, peace, and the goodness and love that he extends to us. Lastly, three responses to make. In this story that Jill read for us here in Luke, we meet these three different characters, these three groups of characters. We've met the angels already. And the angels praise God. There's this moment, and we looked at it a couple of weeks ago, of how the angels are there in heaven. And they're waiting for God's plan of salvation to happen. And Gabriel came 9 months before to tell Mary about the birth that would happen. And Mary's been pregnant then for 9 months. And now the baby's been born. And it seems that heaven is emptied for a moment. All the angels are longing to come to earth and praise God for a salvation they didn't actually benefit from. But they see what God is doing and they want to praise God. The angels seem overwhelmingly eager to be there, don't they? To praise God. Is that us? Are we eager this Christmas day to praise God? And in the days ahead? And whenever there's an opportunity to meet with God's people? And through everything in our life in the new year that's hopefully going to begin in a week's time? Is it our desire to praise God? As 2024 opens up soon, is that our desire for the year? To praise God. We also meet Mary in these verses. And we're told about her in verse 19, that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Some translations have it, she treasured up these things. Up until this point, and it must have been a real help for her faith, she'd heard from an angel, then she'd visited Elizabeth, and Elizabeth had known some similar things. Joseph, of course, had been visited by an angel in a dream, so they could help each other, they could talk about the things they'd heard from God, but then nothing. 9 long months of pregnancy. The anguish of giving birth and having to put your baby in a trough. All these things had happened to Mary. And we haven't heard that she's heard anything from God. But now some shepherds have heard from God. And the shepherds come to meet Mary and Joseph. And they must tell her of everything they've seen and heard. And how that must have helped Mary's faith. And Mary treasures those things in her heart. She ponders them. She reflects on them. She doesn't let it go in one ear and out the other. No, she thinks this is precious. To have heard from God again. Via the angels and the shepherds. But she's heard from God again. And she treasures it. This news that's been heard. Are we like Mary? Taking God's word into our hearts. Not in one ear, out the other. No. We want to treasure it. We want to think about it. What about in the year ahead? 2024. Is that one of our New Year's resolutions? Is it one of our thoughts? In the year ahead, I want to treasure God's word. I want to take it to heart more than I've done before. Last one. And we see the shepherds. The shepherds believe and obey. Just go back a moment before they arrive with Mary. The shepherds hear this news. The angels come singing. And then verse 15, they go away. Suddenly there's a deathly silence. Or just the baaing of sheep. And what do the shepherds do? They don't say, let's go and see if it was true. No, they say, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. The shepherds believe. There's no if in that statement, is there? They don't wonder if it's true. They say, God has told us, and we will go and see that it has happened. And so they head off on a bit of a wild goose chase, in some sense, looking for a baby in a manger. How many doors did they knock on and ask that question? Excuse me there. Have you got a baby in a manger? What kind of response did they get from all the houses they knocked at along the way? Before someone opened the door, Mary or Joseph, and said, yeah, he's right here. The shepherds went out in faith, didn't they? To see the Saviour, believing passionately that it was true what the angels had said, and they go and find the Saviour. And they're rewarded for their faith, aren't they? For all those doors they knocked on, for all the weird responses they got and the doors slammed in their faces. They were the first people to meet the Saviour. And we're told they came. And they found the baby lying in a manger, verse 16. And they made known everywhere they could the things that had been told them about the child. The shepherds are a lovely example, aren't they? Of what it is to trust God. And to hear from him and go, no, I believe it. And they're rewarded, they meet the Saviour. Will we come to Jesus today in faith like those shepherds, obeying those words we've heard, coming to Jesus, confessing our sins, receiving from him that gift of his peace and his forgiveness and all that he gives to us. And then the shepherds return, glorifying and praising God like the angels did. Of all the things they'd seen and heard, which was just as it had been told. Their faith was helped. And they go on their way, praising God, like the angels had done in the first place. Going back though, Luke begins in his first couple of verses in chapter 1. He's writing these things so we may be certain. And that certainty keeps coming up in the story. Here we meet the shepherds. And they were certain about what they've been told. And so this Christmas, May we discover that same certainty of a Saviour who's been born, who's Christ the Lord. And that by receiving that salvation that he gives, may we discover that peace, that goodwill that God extends. And may we be those who are eager to praise, reflecting on his word, eager to trust and obey him in our lives and in the year ahead. Let's sing our last hymn to finish, the carol, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You, God of Glory, Lord of Love, little baby here among us, sent to us from heaven above.